Give God big praise in this house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give God big praise in this house. Woo. Grab your neighbor's hand. Grab your neighbor's hand even across the aisle. There's so much that we can be thankful for today, and there is so much that we have faced since the beginning of the year. And I am not surprised at these things happening today, because we are about to enter a new realm in the spirit. And unfortunately, only a remnant of you all will probably even understand that something is not about to happen. It already did. And if you're still looking for it to happen, you've already missed it. And I'm hearing real clearly that this is not for the baby saint. And this word is not for the immature or carnal mind. But this word is for those who can hear what the Spirit is saying, with the spiritual ear, what he's saying to the church. So all of us together need to pray now corporately. Everyone open your mouth and pray, and begin to come against the powers of the air which wish to distract and destroy, and just come again as you see it starting early, because there is something very poignant about to take place in this house. I don't come in my own power. I don't come in my own might, but I come in the name of the Lord. Pray out loud. Let your adversary hear you. Let him be well informed that we are not afraid and we will not be moved. Acknowledge the power of God in this house and make his name greater than any opposition. Pray out loud. In the heavenlies and in the earth and in the underseas, Jesus' name will remain supreme. Someone needs to declare the righteousness of the Lord over the man of God today. I myself have no good thing within me, but this word will complete and finish what it was sent out to do. And if you believe it's already done, give God a big praise in this house. You may head back to your seat, but remain standing. Let me start by saying God is good all the time. And we're going to be hitting Old and New Testament. So first, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And you will forgive me, please, for not going through the normal ecclesiastical protocol that I normally go through, but I don't even have time to go through all of that right now. We know who we honor, and we praise God, of course, Jesus being head, but all of the subsequent acknowledgments that I normally do, please forgive me today. We do not have time to to go into all of that. This word is that important. It's that important. I stand preaching in third person today in the sense of I'm with you, hearing as you're hearing. This is nothing that I'm giving to you as if I have arrived. This isn't a sermon of me coming in a condescending manner whatsoever. So just know that I am also on the other side of this great arc today. And I say that because this is something that I have never ventured into before, and you all are about to witness something that I have never partaken in before today. And the Lord was letting me know that this is something that is brand new, and before it goes out into the rest of the world, this house is blessed enough for the Lord to release some revelation that has not been given yet. I'm sure that there's no distance in the spirit, and there are other ministers and prophets, apostles, who have also been made aware of this new, I want to say, dispensation that we have just tapped into, particularly with the exuberant amounts of earthquakes and tremors that we have been experiencing. It's all the predecessor to revival and revolution. So just know that this is not just a physical thing. The physical is manifesting by way of what's happening in the spirit realm. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. And we're going to investigate verse number 16, New International Version, in your hearing. We thank God it's already done. Pray with me and bear with me. Therefore, we do not lose heart, though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us, it's working for us, an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. So we fix our eyes not on what is seen. Everyone hear that? We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, and what is unseen is eternal. Now go to the Old Testament, Psalms, the 115th division, in which I've never spoken from, but I'm excited about what the Lord is revealing. And this is not for brag or any boast. My boast is in the Lord, but God's doing something in me. Every week, it's a different realm, a different level, a different something's going on that I have no control of. And I want to keep giving in to what God is doing. Y'all need to just give in and quit trying to stay the same way and do what people want you to do. And start evolving as the Lord begins to evolve you in the spirit realm. Praise the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord Almighty. Praise the Lord Almighty. This word is specifically for you weirdos. The ones that have dreams and know things that are going to happen before they happen. Precogs, clairvoyants, those with exuberant amounts of ESP and extrasensory perceptions, and don't know why since you were a kid you knew things were going to happen before they happened. This is for you today. This is for you. This is for those who the family thought you were nuts, but you were just gifted. And now the Lord is giving you not just a word of wisdom, but a word of knowledge to understand what he gave you as a child. Now, unto us, verse 1, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? But our God is in the heavens. And he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. God can do whatever he wants to do. Somebody needs to say amen. Their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. They have mouths. Hear this clearly. This is where I want us to focus. They have mouths, but they speak not. Eyes have they, but they see not. And they have ears, but they hear not. Noses have they, but they smell not. Are y'all with me? Verse number 7. They have hands, but they handle not. Feet have they, but they walk not. Neither speak they through their throat. I want to talk to you about the sixth sense. The sixth sense. You may be seated. Need to make sure that aside from this and this, everything is muted. And I need someone in this house to pray that complete accuracy and clarity come through me today. I don't want to miss God, and I don't want to add to or take anything from what he is about to say. The Lord was showing me that there are a group of people within the earth that were sent here on purpose to be an edification to the average or common man. And these people, from before the foundation of the world, were already given a certain set of supernatural ability to hear things that no one else could hear, and to see things that no one else could see, and to be able to have premonitions of things that had not yet manifested, yet you knew within your being that it was true, although it had not manifested yet, and there was no evidence supporting what you know you felt. Am I talking to anyone yet? Get them hands up high. The ones that have had this and you wish to God you never had the gift. Because some things that you are shown, you don't want to see. Sometimes they're so traumatic that it's like you hate to even close your eyes at night or sit still for too long, because the visions are normally tragic and apocalyptic, to the point that when you were younger, you can recall many times that you would have to jump out of your own bed and hop into your parents' bed to be comforted. And they think it was because you saw something on television. You're trying to convince them that, no, this is not a figment of my imagination. This is not the boogeyman. I saw a demonic presence and felt it in my room. Now, I don't know if that's up in this house, but some of us have had experiences that we've kept quiet even into our adulthood. We know it happened, but we think that folks will think we're crazy if we ever revealed what we have felt, seen, and foresaw before it even happened. Now, there are people that are given this gift, but they have a charlatan spirit upon them. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. And many of them prostitute this gift. Many of them have psychic abilities. I guess they mean well, but they do it to make profit and confuse the word of the Lord, which is divine, with that is which is divination. And divination is when someone doesn't use God to govern that gift and uses the emotional, soulish realm to manipulate somebody's mind. So that there are those within the church that we are calling prophetic when they are demonically anointed to be psychic, to discern the emotional disposition of a person in the house of God. And if we do not have discernment, we will think it's a word from the Lord when indeed it is someone who is operating in a specific gift, which comes without repentance. This is a deep one here. And the Lord is exposing the difference between the spiritual sixth sense and those who were just born with the innate ability to operate in these gifts, but are using it to manipulate their own agenda in people's lives, all vicariously, supposedly, and allegedly in the name of the Lord. There have been soothsayers in the Old Testament that knew how to cross certain realms. You've seen shows like Crossing Over and Medium and things like these. Things are indeed real. But the question is from which source are you receiving your information? Because I believe that when the people of God and the men of God and the patriarchs of old begin to cross over into a new realm as they are transfigured and transitioned out of the earthly realm into the spiritual realm, I believe there's some things that our grandparents could do better on the other side to work on our behalf on this side. However, I will not be using demonic mediums and bridges to get to that realm. As a matter of fact, you need to let the dead stay dead. Because as a tree falleth, so shall it lie. The only thing that still has active resonance in the spirit realm post-death are the things that were sown in the spirit by a particular individual that cannot be tapped into in the flesh realm. If it is tapped into, you have moved into a different realm, which the enemy used in the Old Testament to speak to spirits through soothsayers. You must know the difference between the two. We cannot deny, listen to this, we cannot deny that some form of the observance of stars was precedent in the finding of the baby Jesus Christ. So you cannot deny that God himself, if stars and planets are demonic, why would he make them? We are afraid of the things we don't understand. Everything in the universe was created by God and it was good. It is the worship of the planets. It is the worship of the stars. It is the worship of these things that bring a consequence of idolatry into Christianity in the name of prosperity. But I'm telling you, I don't need a star to tell me what God already told me. All I know is that God created them. God created the earth. God created the heavens. Now, when we see this and we go and look at it, it says here in the Bible that they followed a star to find the baby Jesus. So God aligns things within the stars to direct us to the right moment. Let me tell you, seasons are important. And if we keep holding on to a season and not recognize that the Holy Spirit is causing leaves to turn brown and fall out of your walk in life, you will begin to bowl around and roll around in leaves because it feels good. But leaves on the ground are dead. They are no longer connected to the tree. They are no longer connected to their source. There's a reason why friendships will now begin to fall to the wayside. Not because they're evil. It's just that they are no longer connected to the root of the matter, which is Jesus Christ concerning you. Praise the Lord. That's why it says, in everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God within Christ Jesus, which is concerning you. Well, what does this have to do with the sixth sense? The sixth sense tells us that a season has come to a close, and we know when we are supposed to let certain people and certain things go. But because they have become a part of our very existence, we don't know how to release things that God no longer has his hands upon. And get mad at God when things don't go right associated with things that used to work perfectly upon your behalf. That's because there are seasonal friends. There are seasonal anointings. Anointing does not mean someone is anointed. It means that the anointing was smeared upon them for a season to do a certain purpose, to reach a certain people. But we have confused good singing with someone being anointed. No, the anointing hit them to bless someone in the house, but that's not parallel or synonymous with the life of walking in the anointing, not just standing under it. The sixth sense has nothing to do with your emotion. It is spiritually driven. As a matter of fact, it's so spiritually driven that carnal people will look at you like you are nuts when you know that God says, my time is up within this house. My time is up within this company. My time is up within this relationship. My time is up with this mentality. You can't explain it. You don't know why. It has nothing to do with personality conflicts. It's something beyond you. You can't explain it. All you know is you have to get out. You have to do something different. You have to change the mode of operation. It's beyond your own will. It's beyond your own thoughts. But it's a sixth sense. It's something that you cannot see. It's something that you cannot taste, but you know it's there. It's like, I have a feeling. I don't know if you got it, but I know everything is going to work out all right, but I know nothing about how it's going to work out. It's the sixth sense that suggests that although it looks crazy, something else, something otherly tells me it is God's will that I am in this, that I am in. Therefore, I will not complain, but I will be content. I will be content before I move from this position. Now, I need you to stay with me because this is something that cannot be emotionally induced or brought about by church culture. I want you to stay with me here. Everyone in this house must zone in to what's happening here. The definition of the sixth sense tells us that there is a colloquial term. A colloquialism is jargon. Sometimes it's considered an idiom, another way of explaining a word or a definition of a term. And it specifically deals with ESP, not ESPN, but ESP. ESP tells us that there is an extra sensory perception. It's very difficult for scientists to understand what ESP is because it's a God-given gift. But without the Holy Ghost to govern that gift, it will drive you crazy. I'm trying to help people not be confused between themselves and what God is saying, between themselves and what the Spirit is saying. So therefore, we have to lend over and give our gifts back into the Father, saying, I have something that is supernatural, something I cannot explain, something I feel, but I give this back over to you. It's the power of perception, independent of the five senses. In the 115th division of the book of Psalms, it talks about a group of people that have mouths, but they speak not. They have eyes, but they see not. They have noses, but they smell not. They have hands, but they touch not. I want you to hear me real close here. It's the ability to see beyond the obvious. Glory to God. Obviously, there are challenges facing you, but with the sixth sense, you are able to see past the obvious opposition. I'm already preaching. This isn't the time to be worrying about stuff that you're not sure about. This is the time to get thankful when you see obvious drama, obvious challenge, obvious fighting, obvious confusion. The more obvious that it becomes, it is an indication that your extracurricular sensory perception is picking up something in the spirit realm. And the only way that you will be able to tap into the fullness of the transmission is when you come in with your hands raised. When you at your house with your hands raised, it is an antenna to hear the frequency of what the Spirit is saying about a particular circumstance. If you go in with the Lord, I surrender all, in the middle of your confusion, you will find you will have clarity where there is confusion and arguments and there is contention and strife. People will not be able to understand while you still have a clear understanding of what God is saying to you. It's because my hands will remain raised in the middle of calamity. Am I helping anybody here? Tell someone, don't put your hands down. Some people lift their hands in surrender to the situation, but tell your neighbor, surrender to God. Don't you dare surrender your giftings or your insight. to worry and desperation, because desperation is directly connected to emotional decisions that are made when you have given up. But understand that the sixth sense always moves in when you can't do nothing else about it. It's a blessing when things are out of your control. It is a blessing when no one can solve the current dilemma that you are facing. For when there are trials and tribulations that are beyond the human condition of repair and reconciliation, we understand that God sent back the Holy Spirit, which can only be received by faith. And faith is indeed the sixth sense, because it operates upon the principle of things not seen. Things that you have not held in your hands just yet, but yet you have a feeling on the inside as though you already have retained it. Am I the only person that hasn't physically received the outpour, but on the inside you have already encountered success? You have already encountered prosperity. Broke as I don't know what, but the sixth sense says that what I don't have, I do have. And what I do have, I really don't need anyway. That's why the friends you can see and talk to don't mean the same thing to you anymore. Because physical comfort no longer sustains the spiritual intellect of the things of the spirit realm, and carnal conversation no longer makes your baby kick. Dumb, doubtful talking no longer makes you react anymore. Somebody in here's got the sixth sense that says, I feel like going on, though my senses are telling me to give up. The sixth sense says, get your butt up out of bed, because there's something that your flesh does not know about. There's something that your eyes have not seen. There's some things that your ears have never heard. There are some blessings that your tongue has never tasted. Tell someone, oh, taste and see. You can't see God till you taste him. Oh, taste and see. Until you have fellowship with him, you can't see what he's doing. Someone praise God in this house. Give God the biggest praise that you can give him. Give me more on this microphone. I feel like preaching. The sixth sense gives us the ability to operate in telepathy. Some people are going to think that this sermon is spooky and hocus pocus. No, these gifts always belong to God, and the devil turned around and perverted them. Oh, you better say something up in here. Let me help you out. When Moses went before Pharaoh, they saw that the magicians in that house and principality had the power to cause magic and manifestations that were otherworldly. Mm-hmm. Now, when Moses put his rod down, Pharaoh's magicians had the ability to do the exact same thing. Oh my God. That's why you have to be careful of preachers that sound like they're anointed. Because they know how to sound like the real thing. They know how to shout like the real thing. They know how to squall like the real thing. But they are none of God. That's why people are going to go before Jesus and say, I preached in your name and I cast out devils in your name. The key is that it was done in his name. And because his name will never return void, of course it's going to work. But where is your name written is the real question. Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who Be careful trying to call out demons when you have no authority and you're not recognized in the demonic realm. There are some people that don't even get antagonized by the enemy because they're so deep in worship that the enemy can't get to them. There are some places that are off limits to demonic principalities. Telepathy is when someone you don't know or someone that does not know what's going on in your life, you're able to communicate to them without anybody else being able to understand what's being said. Meaning that in intercession, it's a form of telepathy. And if you are indeed in the spirit realm, you have the ability without hearing what they need prayer for, to in the spirit know what they need without being nosy and getting details about this. Ooh, glory to God. About the situation. That's why you have to be careful of people that are spiritual but yet still need more concrete evidence of your circumstance. If you have the sixth sense, you don't have to ask questions like, what do you need me to believe God with you for? If someone has to ask you what you need, you might as well keep it to yourself, because them getting involved with it, if they don't have spiritual ears and eyes to discern what you need, how are they a spiritual asset to you? Duh, the obvious is they're a hindrance. And because their powers are so low and benign, they have to manipulate their way into your life by asking questions. But the true intercessors with telepathy know how to communicate with each other and say, when I saw you walk into church today, I don't know exactly what it was, but my spirit picked up on some type of discrepancy. I don't need to know the details. All I know is I need to let you know I got your back in the spirit. I only want the best for you. And only demonic and witchcraft type folks want to know all the details of your struggle. But the church mothers knew how to pray for stuff that nobody knew about. The church fathers knew how to intercede about issues before there was an email. Back in the day, there was no Facebook, but people knew how to put the writing on the wall. They didn't need text messaging. The Holy Ghost would drop down in somebody's spirit that sister is facing domestic violence. No one knows it in the church. She shouts like she's crazy. But back at home, there's a devil she's fighting that she cannot talk about out loud. Telepathy says, I know you're still struggling with that carnal issue. And I feel you without even having to know what your struggle is. Because game recognizes game. You only discern it because you're dealing with it yourself. It takes one to know one. And I see prophets all in this building. It takes one to know one. But the enemy wants to confuse your gift and pervert your gift and manipulate your gift to make you use your gift to take you out. But tell someone, I'm giving this gift of the sixth sense back over to Jesus to purify it, so that if it's not time to say it, I won't say it. If it's not time to preach it, I won't reveal it. If it does not edify my spirit, I put corks in my ears. That's why in the Bible, in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 22, it says that he that have an ear, it is singular and not plural. It says he that have one ear. When you have both ears, you can hear God and the devil. But once you get in the spirit realm, it says he that have an ear, let him hear what the spirit is saying unto the churches. The only way you can hear God now is to have monotheistic presentation and monotheistic adaptation.
The reason why it says he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying, is because here, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There is one Lord, and there is one faith, and there is one baptism, which means I can't have two ears, but I gotta have one ear that's in my spirit, so I'm not confused by the other sounds that I may hear, but my ears will have tunnel vision. My ears will only see the things that God wants me to hear and see. You have to listen with your eyes, and you have to see with your ears. But you can't have multiple sources of input hitting your spirit. It's time to shut down transmissions. It's time to cast down imaginations and everything that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God. There are many wayward spirits that want to deceive your life. But the Lord sent the man of God in here to let you know that yes, many have gifts, but the people you need to listen to are the ones that have repented. If you still messy, how in the hell do you have a word from my house? If you still involved in mess, how can you lay hands upon my head? If you still confusing everybody, then why would I trust you with my spiritual destiny? Tell someone to use what God gave you. You discerned right. They are a phony. They are a hypocrite. You discerned it right the first time. But because they're your family member, you try to overlook the obvious. This is a devil in the form of an auntie. This is a witch in the form of a cousin. This is a warlock in the form of a grandfather. The sixth sense says, don't leave your child with them overnight. The sixth sense says, when I say come home from school, I mean you better come straight home from school. God gives parents the sixth sense. And while you popping your lips and smacking your gums, God gives your parents insight to see the enemy coming. You think they're your friend, but the devil is after your soul. The sixth sense will show your parents that person means to be an attachment to you and have no intention to bless you in the spirit realm. So sometimes you're at school and it seems like you hear your parents' voice. The sixth sense works inside of your mama and daddy, where they're at work themselves. Don't know what you about to smoke, but the sixth sense says send a signal to your child and tell them, don't you smoke it, because this will be the last time you'll ever have your right mind. The sixth sense tells your children, don't go to the party. I know everybody's there, but my spidey senses are tingling. They're not bad people, but a bad circumstance is about to happen, because bad things happen to good people all the time. Tell someone that's why it pays to have your sensory perceptions modulated by the auspices of the Holy Spirit. Now there was another form of the sixth sense called clairvoyance. This is when you can see things that nobody else can see. This is when you see things working out while everyone else is stressed out. It's a clairvoyance in the spirit, recognizing that the present sufferings are not even worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed. That is the sixth sense. When folks know you ain't got nothing, broker than you have ever been in your life, but yet there was a confidence, not cockiness or arrogance, but there was a confidence in the fact that this never would hit my house unless God qualified me to go through it. Clairvoyance helped you to see through stuff. It makes your opposition translucent. I don't know if you know about translucent powder. It gives your face a beat look without it looking like Bisquick. It means I can still see where I'm going, even though there's a thin layer of confusion on top of it. But where carnal people say the door can't open, someone with the sixth sense says the door was never shut to begin with. People who don't have the sixth sense pray for a way out. But people with the sixth sense, they walk out of their stuff. Glory to God. The sixth sense is directly related to the sixth day, to the point that God could not suffer to rest until man was plugged in to the ecosystem of God's creation. That nothing could happen in rest for God until man's possession was secured in the spirit realm. God could have rested on day three, I'm sure. Doing all he did in the first 3 days would require rest. Oh, but God waited until man entered the picture. After man's position was secure and he gave them dominion, didn't say just him. The Bible says he gave them. Adam and Eve had dominion. The only way there would be a power struggle in Eden is if the wife did not submit and become one. I preached last week that without women, there will be no male preachers. Right. But women, don't you forget, you came out of us first. Quiet up in here. Right. Adam could not rest until his position was secure. He had already been given dominion to name animals and make sure that he could name everything that was within the ecosystem of God's planet, which had no problems at that time. But notice the same way, glory to God, that Adam was put to sleep. Notice where the woman, the man with the womb, came from. It came out of his side when Jesus, the second Adam, was on the cross. His bride, the new Eve, the church, came out of his side. Blood, repentance, and baptism. But it didn't come out of a woman. It came out of a man. Okay. Let's move on. Precognition. Foreseeing future events. How many of you have that ability? Raise your hands. You've seen it. Don't be afraid. That's what society, media, and even religion has talked so bad about these things. Oh, they spooky, honey. Oh, they crazy. Oh, they don't know what they on some other stuff. They tapped into some other stuff. No, I was given a gift, and I don't know how to use it properly. I've seen bad examples of family members who do have insight in those realms, but have used that to break up marriages or get folks knocked off. or pray for calamity and disaster. Don't front up in here. It's in your house. It's in your family. Somebody up in there has tapped into something. And you've seen some results. But don't you follow that hereditary divination curse. Use your gifts for the kingdom the way God originally intended your gift to be used. This is something new. Retrocognition. When you were too young to remember anything that happened, but you remember every detail, even about events you were not present at. Sixth sense. These are all giftings. Every gift, good and perfect gift, comes from the Father. But the enemy always tries to make a facsimile of what's pure and have a perverted version of it. Satan is not original. He can only emulate. He can only imitate. That's why I have yet to see somebody have yoke-destroying power and be under Satan's control. Because no one who is connected truly to God is going to be a friend of the devil. Okay. Then you have psychometry, which is the ability to know the history of an object. The Lord revealed that the sixth sense is going to reveal how certain items in your house have to be removed. They're not heirlooms, they are idols. They are attached to a mentality that you are delivered from. I'm preaching some other realm. God is showing that you have items that cannot be taken from you without you having an emotional attachment to it. And if you can't get rid of it, the very thing that's in your house will be a new form of idolatry that will keep you bound in grief, remorse, and remembering what could have been. You celebrate whatever you have to celebrate, but at some point, you have to even remove the items attached to that person. That includes the necklaces that he gave you that you are no longer involved with him with. The sweater that she bought you that you know you're no longer with each other, but there she still has a part of herself connected to you. When you are truly delivered from a soul tie, everything attached and associated with that demon has to be removed out of your house. Are you praying for him? Glory to God. When it's time to clear out the feng shui or energy of your home or sanctuary, you have to learn that there are things in your house blocking prosperity from hitting you because you're associating comfort with success. But success always comes from uncomfortable situations.
Yes, sir.
If you're comfortable the way your house is, you will remain in that house. But when you start moving things, saying, this is not my final resting place, this is temporary. People will walk in your house with nothing in it, and you sitting on the floor smiling. Then they don't know why the next month your whole house is furnished. Because I had a couch before I had a couch. My spirit told me clear out so the Lord can fill me up. Tell somebody it's time for spring cleaning. The sixth sense has already told you to start making arrangements and rearrangements in your house. Because the energy associated with when they hurt you is in the position of that couch, the position of that lamp, that picture that's on the mantle. At some point, you have to release them. I know what I'm talking about. When the Lord begins to speak in that sixth sense, it's always through dreams. When the loved ones that you love that are spiritual have a message for you, they'll speak through a dream, not through a person. That's demonic. Y'all better hear me. Because God's so good that some messages don't need to be heard by human ears. So he has to make sure that not even the devil can hear what's spoken over your life. And there's one place the devil can't get into, and that is into that spirit realm of the dream state, because it's the closest to death. That's why you can understand things in your dreams that you can't understand while you're awake, because it's the closest cousin to death. The power to discern or perceive the true nature of a person or a situation. Whatever you are sensing in your sixth sense, it is the truth, and it will be accompanied by the hairs raising up on your arm. When somebody is telling the truth, goes up the back of your neck. Holy Ghost filled or not, everyone gets goosebumps. The reason why you get them is because God equipped the human body with a device that is not of the human stratosphere or realm to verify when people have tapped into truth. That's why there are certain things that are said on TV shows, and you get goosebumps. You say, "Woo! I felt that when they said that thing right there." That's your body telling you that the sixth sense is active, and what they said was the truth. I don't want to be around nobody that their conversation don't make my hair raise. I want to be around folks that every word they say is like, "Wow, I feel that. Yes, I was thinking the exact same thing. I was just talking about that today." I want to be around people that are clairvoyant, have the telepathy, tapped into the spirit realm, not by some psychic connection. If you're so psychic, then why can't you see your lotto numbers? Why you got to start with somebody with an S or a B or an L in your family? You should know their name. You should know their social security number. If you watch how they operate, they allow you to confirm how far they can go. So anytime they're near something that's right, they play off of your expression. The next time someone has a prophecy for you, you need to turn it to Lady Gaga and give them a poker face. If this is really of God, I'm going to listen to the full extent of the prophecy. And you don't even get that much time if you haven't submitted what you think you're about to say to leadership. So all of you double agent, soothsaying, card flipping, Ouija board using, goofy dust throwing. Are y'all praying for me? There's about eight praying on me, but it won't work. I see you in every section. I see you. 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 You're not here to worship. You're here to control and manipulate. But the spell has been broken off of this house. A real woman of God or a real man of God will expose the devil for what he's trying to do. Power to discern or perceive the true nature of a person. You felt right. And then you kick yourself when you say, "I know what I felt." You weren't supposed to close that deal with them. You were not supposed to use that car salesman. But you wanted what you wanted so bad, you overrode your sixth sense. The sixth sense is only given unto man. That's why angels envy us. What are man that thou art mindful of him? Angels are investigating why God spends so much time on such dirty creatures. But God so loved the world, not Jupiter. God so loved the world, not Uranus. God so loved the world, not Mercury. For God so loved the world, not Pluto. God loved Earth. He died for Earth. For God so loved the world. He loved this planet so much that he put special people within the planet to help those who were not yet spiritual. And the enemy saw these giftings and either made you run from them out of fear or use them for the wrong team. I'm telling you, if you do have the gift, repent and submit your gift back to God and say, the only time I'm going to speak into someone's life is if the Holy Spirit gives me permission.
Hallelujah.
Insight. Instincts. There are things within you that are innate to discern the true agenda and motive of a character or being in your life. Some have dissipated. Some have returned. New clothes, but the same rebellious spirit. And when you are in rebellion against authority, not me, but God's authority and the word, you'll start getting words from witches that will confirm your rebellion and tell you you're on the right path to righteousness. And because you're hearing with your ears what your itching ears want to hear, you believe that what they told you is what is the truth. But it should never be something you've never heard of. True prophecy is affirmation of what God already told you, not some new mess that you ain't ever heard of before. I see you moving to Brazil. You don't even have a passport. So how did the Lord give you that word? I see a new car coming your way. Don't even have a permit. I see you typing in the future. You got three fingers on both hands. When prophecy comes, it does not come with a price tag attached to it. We don't need a $100 line and a $50 line and a $10 line to make sure what God says comes true. He don't need our money. The sixth sense prophesies to yourself. Whether you hear it from your pastor or not, when you do hear it from me, you just hear what you already know. So with this in mind, we must be aware. Matthew 14:35 talks about touch. Revelations 3:22 talks about sound. And Psalms, the 34th division, verse number 8 talks about taste. And 2 Corinthians 4:18 talks about the eyes. Right. Psalms 115:6 talks about the smell. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here, and here. With on your, the tongue. There are tiny tongues called taste buds. But the tongue is not called multiple taste buds. It's called a tongue. When you look out of your eyes, even though you have two, notice how genius, the diametric work and the anatomical genius of God. You don't see the bridge of your nose. You just see a clear screen. Got two of these, two nostrils in this,
but only one tongue.
It's outnumbered. Y'all missed that. Your tongue is outnumbered. The majority rules. Use these. But keep this one last. This one should only speak. Now I'm going to bless you real good. Remember, Revelation chapter number 3, verse number 22 said, he that had an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. If it's only one ear he's referring to, a monotheistic signal and transmission, this should not speak based off of what this, or this sees. It should only speak based off of the transmission that came to the one ear. It didn't say, he that have an ear, let him hear what the preacher is saying to the church, or what your mama's been saying about the church, or what your grandmother feels about church culture. It specifically says, he that have an ear, singular, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. If your flesh is talking about your church, it's not the Spirit.
Come on.
So when you start speaking on things that are not spiritual, you begin to be used by divination. Yes, so-and-so is with so-and-so. You got the gift. Fantastic. Now, is that gift a blessing to the house, or are you planting seeds of a personal spiritual insight that should only be taking place behind private corridors and private counseling sessions with a leader that will not judge but will objectively discern the matter?
Right.
You trying to play pastor judge and trying to play Judge Mathis, and someone's soul is going to be jeopardized because you're jumping the gun about matters that God has not made a final judgment on. So somebody will leave here because you so struck on making sure everyone knows you saw it first that you reveal a thing before it's time. And the right word in the wrong season will kill, just like unripened fruit. 6:6 says, yeah, I see this on my brother or sister, but it's best that I go into spiritual realms about this. I obviously can discern or see or feel something that no one else can see about this matter. But let me make sure that the reason why I'm using this gift is not for self-glorification or to make people within the house think I'm something more than I am. Because the most prophetic people are the most sexually perverted people. And if you run your mouth about what you think is somebody's issue, you're putting your mouth on the prophet in that woman or that man. Oh my God.
Amen.
Because their cookies aren't done yet.
Come on.
But after they've been through the fire, you better believe that very person you think is so nasty and horrible will be the very one preaching your daughter out of some crazy relationship. Because you can't preach about nothing that you ain't been through. That's why you need to shut your mouth. If you don't know what I felt and you don't know the pain I've experienced, how dare you judge my process?
Come on.
Wow. Ooh, they loose, they fast. You recognize it because you're loose. You're fast. You just have a missionary skirt on. But my sixth sense says you still a hoe. Miss Anointed One, my sixth sense says you still got a sugar daddy even though you know the Bible backwards and forwards. But I didn't say nothing about you, so you don't say nothing about me, because I have telepathy, boo, and we both know we both like the same thing. That's called a familiar spirit. You know what I like because you the same thing. But you trying to hit me first so people don't look at you. So save yourself. Submit your gifts and your body to the word and to the Lord. Because there's some stuff you ain't never told nobody. But sweetie, we know you. We know you, boo-boo. We know who you are. But more than us knowing who you are is speaking what God says you will be. I am the manifestation of church people calling me things all my life, so I manifested it. Y'all kept calling me that. Y'all kept saying that's what I'll be. So here's your manifesto. Preaching you out of your stuff. Still here. Ain't gone nowhere. Bulletproof, slanderproof. Why? Because God used all of their tongues to build up a skin around me so that when things start to come my way, it doesn't even penetrate my spirit anymore. Because it's old news. Do you have anything else to work with, boo? You're going to have to try something else because that doesn't work with me no more. It used to, but it doesn't work with me no more because I'm a new creature. Yeah, he's this and he ain't no good and she's this and she's all. And then you start seeing the characteristics of the things you keep thinking about folks and speaking about folks and saying about folks. And yeah, I saw her at school and I saw her kissing another girl and I saw him over at the corner and he was smoking weed and you know, he bought something from my cousin and he's still up in the, he ain't. Okay. The very thing you trying to pull the cover off is going to be your kid. It's going to be your husband. Watch. That it's going to be your wife. Your faithful, loving, speaking in tongues wife. It's going to be her. Watch. This tongue has life and death in it. Therefore, it must be governed by the sixth sense. The other realm, not human. The building not made by hands. There are sermons that are given that cannot be eaten with the physical mouth. But your spirit is eating this up. You can smell blessings coming, although no one fixed a blessing salad. You can hear the announcement about you getting married, but you haven't met anyone yet. You can see and feel the power of the car you're going to drive. Although you haven't even went to the lot and your credit's so crazy, you know it's going to be impossible. But your sixth sense says, in God, all things are. You may have the gift. But in order for the sixth sense to be an asset to the kingdom, you must be born again because you were born with a gift. But now you have to be born again so that the gift can take kingdom purpose and navigation. The sixth sense. God bless you all.